Hi, everyone. Welcome to Keeping a Notebook. I'm Nina LaCour. A few months ago, I started a project on this podcast called Writing in Place. The pandemic was upon us. I had just moved into my family's new home in San Francisco, where there was literally a giant hole in the kitchen wall, 5 feet wide, running the expanse of floor to ceiling, where we'd torn out an old chimney, thinking we'd have time to make repairs to the apartment before moving in. We didn't have time. We were living without an oven or stove or kitchen sink. We were living within rooms with chipped paint and colors we never would have chosen for ourselves. We were sheltering in place, and we were fortunate in so many ways that our jobs allowed us to work from home, that we lived in a city where fresh groceries could be delivered, that we had the money to pay for them. We were lucky, we knew, but we were still disoriented. The solution, I thought, was to embrace where we were, the mess and the unfinished nature of it, the cracks in the walls, the view from the windows, the utility sink we installed in the kitchen, the hot plate, the toaster oven, the wall colors we didn't choose. I tried. It felt like surrender. It felt good for a time. And then it didn't. I didn't want to write in place. I wanted to escape. And so escape I did, into my fiction. I finished the first complete draft of a novel that I'd been trying to write for 15 years. I've talked about it on this podcast. If you've listened all along, then you know the one. I wrote a chapter book for the pure delight of it. And I revised a novel, got deeply lost in it, and found it again, and polished it up until it was finished. That novel is Watch Over Me, and today, September 15th of our infamous year 2020, is the day it comes out. I thought, what better time to show back up here in your podcast feeds? I'm tired and I'm overwhelmed. I miss my friends. I miss my family. Fires are raging all over the West Coast, and it's too smoky to go outside. I want this, all of it, to be over. But it isn't over, so I'm here to talk to you about writing again, about getting lost in worlds of our own making, because I've been finding that those worlds are much more helpful to me than the idea of writing in place. So for the next few episodes, I'm going to invite you into the world of my new novel. It's a haunting one, literally. There are ghosts. And it's also an atmospheric one, set on the dramatic coast of Northern California's Mendocino County. It's a story of wanting to belong and the work of making sense of past trauma and the ways in which we crave to be understood and to be loved. In each episode of this little season, I'll read a little bit to you. Who doesn't like to be read to sometimes? And then I'll talk about process and what this book taught me along the journey of writing it. It was not a simple journey. I'll make that clear now. I hope, as always, that you'll find something of value in these reflections, something to carry into your own work or something to enrich your experience of reading. I'd love it if you shared this podcast with a friend. I'd love, of course, for you to buy Watch Over Me. I'm really proud of what it turned into. I'm going to be reading a section now from the first chapter. My narrator, Mila, who is 18 and about to place out of the foster system, has just been granted a farm internship, and with it, the possibility of a new home. Nick, who grew up on the farm, is telling her what to expect. "I want to make sure you understand what this is," Nick said. "Quite a few people have turned it down, and some people haven't known what they were getting into, and it hasn't worked out. You need to want it. It's a farm. It's in the middle of nowhere. To one side is the ocean, and in every other direction is nothing but rocky hills and open land. It's almost always foggy and cold, and there's no cell service and no town to shop in or meet people. Mendocino is 45 minutes away. Farmers market days are the only times you'll interact with the outside world, and you'll be weighing squashes and wrapping flowers most of the time." "That's fine," I said. "I don't mind." He warned me that the cabins where the interns live were tiny, only one room with wood-burning stoves for heat. He said that there was a landline, but no cell service, and that everyone ate meals together 3 times a day and took turns with prep and cleanup. "The main house is comfortable and you're always welcome in it, They have tons of books and a bunch of instruments. There's even a grand piano in the living room. "I've always wanted to play the piano," I said. I don't know why I didn't tell him about all my years of lessons and the songs I knew by heart. Someone to watch over me began to play in my brain, and the kitchen filled with music. My grandmother was sitting next to me, her fingers showing me where my fingers should go. Nick kept talking, and I listened over the sound of piano notes full and rising. I had been so young. I didn't tell him about the terrible thing I'd done. He didn't ask those kinds of questions. Funny, when interviewing for a job to work with children, that a person would ask about college and remoteness and not say, "Tell me the worst thing you ever did. Tell me about your wounds. Can I trust you?" Had they known the truth about me, they might not have given me the job, I thought, even though I was determined to be good, even though I held on fiercely to my own goodness. By the time he finished his tea, we had it all planned out. He asked if I wanted to wait until after graduation ceremony, and I said no, that I didn't care about wearing a hat and robe and walking with the other students. "Okay," he said. Then he would pick me up on Sunday, and we would drive up together. He gave me a thin volume called Teaching School, a handbook to education on the farm, and asked me to read it. He said, "Mila, I have a good feeling about this. I think you'll be a perfect fit with all of us." And I told him I had a good feeling about it too. And I told him that I felt lucky. And he said, "You are lucky. We all are." And then he left. Had we been telling the truth, he would have said, "The place where I'm sending you, it looks beautiful, but it's haunted." "Okay," I would have said. "It will bring everything back, all that you tried to bury." "I understand." "It's going to make you want to do bad things." "I have experience with that." "And how did it turn out?" "Terribly, but I promised to do better this time." We could have had that conversation. It would not have been impossible. I would not have told him everything about me, but I would have told him enough. I still would have taken that 4-hour drive up the jagged coastline to be with Terry and Julia and Billy and Liz and Lee and the rest of the children. All I'm saying is, it would have been easier had I known. Novels come to me in whispers at first, a glimpse of something, a feeling, snippets of conversations as though I'm eavesdropping. I rarely know where the story will go at first, and inevitably, I doubt myself. I wonder, is my mind leading me in the right direction? And is this something people actually want to read? And what about the stories I'm not telling, because I'm telling this one instead? Novels take me a long time. It's been 3.5 years since I had a new book come out. So choosing a story to follow for a couple hundred pages is a big commitment. Doubt walks hand in hand with the writer. At least that's how it feels to me. But here's what I've learned to be true. Doubt walks hand in hand with the writer. At least that's how it is for me. But here's what I've learned to be true. Whatever I'm suffering from, in my life or in my work, is something that's mine to use. I can give it to my story, to my characters. I can use it to push me. "Why are you writing this?" doubt asks. And the question requires an answer. For Watch Over Me, the answer was, because the past and present often coexist. Because we walk around with our past selves looking over our shoulders. Because sometimes the only way to move forward is to stop and let our own histories in, as difficult as they might be, as much as we may want to forget. And once I knew that, I was able to answer Doubt's question. And Doubt became quieter, a little more docile, and I went on with my work. This is the time when usually I would be packing my suitcases, I would be double-checking my tour schedule, kissing my wife and daughter goodbye, getting on an airplane, and heading all around the country to meet people in bookstores. It's something that I love so much, that opportunity to meet readers and to talk to people face to face. But of course, that's not what a book launch looks like right now. So I do have a few virtual events that I'm very, very excited about, and I hope that you will join me. Today, Tuesday, September 15th at 7 p.m. Central Time, I'm having a book launch with my dear friend, Brandy Colbert, who I always love to talk to. And I know that she is going to be the perfect person to help me welcome, watch over me into the world. This event is hosted by Main Street Books in partnership with the St. Louis Public Library. And I have links to register in the show notes. Tomorrow, on Wednesday, September 16th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, I will be joined by Tiffany D. Jackson, who wrote the incredible new novel, Grown. Our books come out on the same day, and we'll be talking about both of our new novels together. This one is hosted by YA at Books, Inc. The link to register is also here in the show notes. And then on Thursday, September 17th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, I'll be in conversation with Stephanie Perkins, who exchanged innumerable texts with me when I was writing this book about true crime and gaslighting and all sorts of other things. And we're going to be discussing the 1944 classic film Gaslight, among many other things. This one is hosted by Books and Books, and you can find out more again in the show notes. I'm also sending out a bunch of newsletters this week, sharing more about the novel, giving more specifics about events, offering writing exercises, and showing you photographs from research along the way. So if you're interested in that, please go ahead and subscribe to my newsletter. You can find the link here as well. Thank you all so much for joining me. I will be back in your feeds tomorrow talking about inspiration. I'm wishing you well wherever you are. I hope that you're staying safe, and I hope your air is clear. And if you need to be transported right now, may you find escape in your work or in the pages of a good book.